Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Got another episode here for you. Prospects and Props, Chris Schubert.
It goes on and on and on.
It's not going to stop. We've got today and tomorrow here of Wide Receiver Week to continue. The top 25 wide receivers. This is what
earliest timeout in show history, Chris.
Smokes. Who's ever?
I'm going to hit you with this, Chris.
Statistician for the show. Please tell me.
I think this might be
the earliest timeout in Prospects and Props history. I think it was.
So when I say it goes on and on and on and on, what's the first thing you think of now? I want to see if you and I are in the same wavelength.
It goes on and on and on. I have no idea.
Like the song that I was singing to start the show.
I have no idea.
Okay, so for me, it's the finale of The Sopranos.
All right. Glad you're sitting down.
I wasn't sure if that was going to be your first.
I'm glad you're sitting down for this one. Have never seen
a
single millisecond. Not even a millisecond.
Not even a highlight on Twitter.
Of an episode of The Sopranos.
To be fair, Chris, you are a little younger than me, and I feel like I mean, was
not by
still
much.
A little.
We went to college at the same time. What are you talking about?
No, but I was also probably considered a little young for the show. So I'm just adding.
Yeah,
100%. You know what I'm saying? So I was a little young for the show, and then you're a little younger than me. So I get it. It's not. You know, if you were 10 years older, I think that would have been a sin.
But no.
I guess I can allow it.
I also don't feel bad that I've never seen a single second of the show. I'm good.
You don't feel bad about anything. You're a cold, heartless son
when
of
it comes
a you-know-what.
When it comes to my pop culture takes, like if people get upset for not seeing a show, I really don't care. Like it's the one thing that doesn't really bother me. If you get upset at me for not like seeing a show, it's like, okay, you enjoy the show. I'm not.
We did this with movies with you, right? During one of the TDM Premium happy hours or a staff chat or whatever
you can't hurt me. I don't watch movies.
But
I don't watch a lot of TV.
Do my top 25 wide receiver rankings hurt you? That's the question, Chris.
I don't define hurt. I mean, I'm confused by some of these, and so we'll ask questions about them. But I wouldn't say hurt. No,
you're not feeling physical pain.
No physical pain. Well, one player in particular is causing me physical pain. We'll get to him very shortly into the show. So here we go. The top 25 wide receivers, according to Jamie Eisner, in half PPR formats. For the 2023 fantasy football season, wide receiver 25, Christian Watson. Wide receiver 24, Gabe Davis. Wide receiver 23, Tyler Lockett. Wide receiver 22, Mike Evans. Wide receiver 21, Garrett Wilson. And wide receiver 20, DK Metcalf. And Jamie, I need to understand.
I know who you're going to go with because you did a Freudian slip when you started reading.
Why do you hate Garrett Wilson so much? Why do you hate him so much that you have him as wide receiver 21 instead of his ADP, which is wide receiver 10? Double
I think
the
there
ADP
are
for Garrett Wilson.
Because I think there are better complementary options there in New York than there were last year, which could affect his target share. Even though I think
better
the offensive
quarterback
is going to be better.
Better quarterback
and that's
play
factored in.
For Garrett Wilson.
And that's factored in, but I also think that like Alan Lazard is going to be a thing. I think Mecole Hardman might have a decent little season. It's one of those ones where I love the player, and I could very well be wrong on this. Like, and I know that. And because this is not a ranking consummate with the talent of Garrett Wilson. I just feel like he's that, again, we talked about this a little bit on yesterday's show when we broke down the Alan Lazard ranking, and while maybe Aaron Rodgers early in the season forces it more to Alan Lazard a little bit at times. And again, both guys are going to have success. And let me see where my projection for Garrett Wilson is not like I have him being terrible or anything, but it came in lower than I initially thought. I have him kind of in that, 70 catch, 850 yards, 8-9 touchdowns. Which I know is probably disappointing given what he did last year, but it's not a bad season by any means. But I do have a little bit of worry when you add a bunch of new weapons, including one of them that was a favorite of the new quarterback, that there might just, again, maybe a more production per target, but not as many targets, if that makes sense.
You mentioned my rankings, your rankings hurting me. Did it hurt you to rank Christian Watson as wide receiver 25?
No. Jordan Love's throwing the ball.
Well, okay. I was kind of setting you up for that to be the answer, but I'm sure just based on pure talent, you would want him to be higher.
I mean, I guess, but I feel like this one didn't bother me, Chris.
Wow. You're emotionally disattached from Christian Watson.
No, because look, Christian Watson is an athletic freak, but with athletic freak wide receivers, usually you need, you're usually depending on big time plays buoying a value. Like, you're not expecting him. Like, I don't think Christian Watson's ever going to be a guy that you go, that's going to get 11 targets a game, is going to go 7 for 74. Like, that's just not what you expect Christian Watson to do. So his value is going to be a little bit more tied to who's throwing him the ball and how many opportunities he has to be a dynamic game-breaking weapon versus a guy that's just going to, you know, suck up targets like Kirby. That was my Kirby impression.
Moving on to, you've got two Seattle
receivers. Wait, hold on.
Are you using one?
Hold on one. No, I still, this is still a conversation. You just went too quickly, because there are two guys here I'm a lot higher on than ADP that I think are worth discussing.
I was moving on from Christian Watson to another player in this tier.
Oh, I thought you were moving on to the top 20, and I was going
to
be like, no, no, no.
I've got more bones to pick with you in this tier. Don't worry.
Okay.
You've got two Seattle wide receivers. Again? You got two Seattle wide receivers ranked pretty closely to each other. DK Metcalf, wide receiver 20, Tyler Lockett, wide receiver 23. I think this is the correct order, with DK being in front of Tyler Lockett, but you do have them close. And I would love to just hear your thoughts on why they are ranked so close in this, on these rankings.
Because I have them 0.2 points per game apart in my projections. yeah, this is, again, this is not the case of me not saying pick one. It's just that this is how the rankings actually came out. And we talked about this a little bit with JSN. And I think, to me, it's, we know what these guys are going to get. And when they're healthy, they're going to be 100 target guys. I have DK Metcalf projected for about 125 targets. I have Tyler Lockett around 100 targets. They're going to put up plenty of production with those numbers. And both of them have actually surprisingly good touchdown numbers. Like, you would assume that with DK Metcalf, but Tyler Lockett finds the end zone plenty. A little bit boom or bust to his game. That's always been the deal with Tyler Lockett, of like, he'll have some weak matchup winning monster games. And then sometimes you're like, ah, damn, man, I wish I would have played somebody else. But this is kind of where I feel comfortable taking both these guys. If you are relying on them as your wide receiver two, I think you'll be perfectly fine. If you're relying on both these guys to be high-end wide receiver twos or low-end wide receiver ones for you, you're probably going to be disappointed. And so I think if this is a really good spot for them in particular, and I think they, by the way, this is one where I think they both can give you top 25 return, because they've done this before. This is not like, oh, I'm splitting the difference and one of them is going to give you really good return, the other one might fall off. No, like, you have a legitimate chance that both of these guys give you wide receiver two numbers, and they've done it.
And they know, yeah, they've operated in this ecosystem before, where the other one has been in the building and has presented, you know, an opportunity for the quarterback to throw the ball to the other wide receiver. So yes, I would agree with that there. Politely, I'm going to ask if there's anybody else in this tier you want to talk about, because I feel like if I move on, you might get upset with me. So
yeah, I would. It's Gabe Davis.
It's exactly who I was going to bring up. To be honest with you, if I didn't move on, Gabe Davis was the player that I was going to discuss, and I decided to move on.
Yeah,
good thing I asked.
So I'm kind of buying in as like a post-hype sleeper to
really?
Gabe Davis.
You're 18 spots higher than ADP on Gabe Davis. You have him as a wide receiver too. Of course you're buying in as a post-hype sleeper for Gabe Davis. Don't try to sugarcoat it. Either you're or you're out.
Here's why. Where else are they throwing the ball besides Stephon Diggs?
It's a fantastic point.
And I know you could say this last year. And by the way, let's talk about this. Gabe Davis wasn't terrible last year. Like, I know he came absolutely nowhere near expectations, and I understand that. But he wasn't horrible last year. And I think people think
he
that, like,
great.
He had tough stretches.
Only two weeks last year, he was the top 10 wide receiver in half PPR.
Sure. And again, I know that he was, like I said, he wasn't great last year, but he wasn't like,
I'm going to use one.
Okay.
I'm going to read to you the weekly finish. I've actually picked up my microphone in order to do this. I'm going to read to you the weekly finish in half PPR formats for Gabe Davis in the year 2022. Week 1, 12th. Didn't play week 2. Week 3, 66. Week 4, 86. Week 5, 1. Week 6, 13. Week 7 was a bye. Week 8, 60. Week 9, 41. Week 10, 8. Week 11, 32. Week 12, 66. Week 13, 39. Week 14, 64. Week 15, 45, week 16, 32, and then week 18, 59. Great for Gabe Davis in 2020.
Sure, but I'm also going to read you some names, Chris. I want you to tell me what they all have in common.
Okay.
DJ Moore, Alan Lazard, Jahan Dotson, Brandon Cooks, Adam Thielen, Cortland Sutton, Drake London.
I had a theme going through the first two names, and then the theme kind of went away. These are players that on that Gabe Davis averaged more targets per game than.
No, these are players that Gabe Davis averaged more fantasy points per game than.
Okay.
So I know there was boom or bust here, and I know this was, again, everybody was drafting him last year as a high-end wide receiver too, and coming off the playoff game, and this was going to be the breakout season. I feel like people have been, it's like a spurned lover. Like they're like, they look at him and they're like, I'm not falling for this shit again. I'm not doing this trap.
But hold on. You went from high, like last year, high end wide receiver two. You have him as your last wide receiver two. This is not an attack on you. This is just a question. Is there not enough of a fall for how bad he was last year in fantasy? Because to me, you're still drafting him as a wide receiver two. And I don't know if he can be that for you.
I think he can. He still has high touchdown potential. I still think he's going to get plenty of yards. And it also goes back to the fact that I don't think Buffalo is going to be as good as we think. And I think they're going to be forced to throw the ball more. And I mean, and by the way, I had him here. His ranking was not touched by the Stephon Diggs situation. I'm not even considering that in this ranking. So I want to make it very clear that I'm not projecting anything Diggs related here. But I do think he has double digit touchdown upside. I do think he's got 1,000 receiving yard upside. And I feel like as we start to look at some of the guys that are around him or below him, I don't see why he and a guy like Christian Watson can't have very similar seasons.
We are inside.
And Gabe Davis has got a better quarterback. And then Mike Evans he's going to put up 1,000 yards no matter what. So like,
it's true. It's what he does. As long as he's healthy, that's what he does.
Even when he's not, he's literally never not done it. I will not be the one that projects him not to do it.
We are inside the top 20. 19, Drake London. 18, Christian Kirk. 17, Brandon Ayuk. 16, Michael Pittman Jr. 15, Calvin Ridley. 14, T. Higgins. 13, Devonta Smith. 12, Jalen Waddle. 11, Amari Cooper. And 10, Debo Samuel. Jamie, I got a lot of things to say about this tier. And okay. I will start with, I think, my major question for you. Calvin Ridley, wide receiver 15. Yeah. Does that not feel as if you are buying in at the best case scenario for Calvin Ridley in his first year back?
It feels like I'm buying in close to the best case scenario.
And that concerns me a little bit. If I had to push back, like, I don't know if he's going to be better than wide receiver 15 this season.
Well, currently in my average fantasy points per game, I have him as my wide receiver 10.
Ooh, that's a lofty projection.
It is. I think Calvin Ridley is an elite receiver talent. Not tier one elite, but tier two elite. And I feel like this is absolutely a projection.
Now we can have.
Well, I mean, like I put it this way. Like, I don't think he is Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, but I think he's the best of the next tier. Like, I want to be clear. There's a break there. He's got great quarterback play. I would argue and an offense that's going to be very friendly for him. Wide receiver one in that offense. I know we haven't seen him, but it's not like we haven't seen him because of an injury. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not worried about, like, oh, he's got a lingering injury issue that he's bringing into the season. Like, he's got a lingering, I guess, thumb issue of not pressing bet on games. But I am understandably higher on him, and I'm understandably assuming most of the risk here. But I think he's got, like, I think he truly has top 10 wide receiver potential, maybe even top 8 fantasy receiver potential.
I can't get there, and I think if you draft him as wide receiver 15, you're basically getting him at the best case scenario for him in 2023, and that's just a risk I'm not willing to assume. Listen, Jamie.
It's not something you're willing to
bet on, yeah.
Bet on? Yeah, okay.
Speaking of players that I want to talk about.
Get it?
I understand.
Because he did the thing.
There's nobody, I think, out there that's a bigger stand for this gentleman than me. I love me some Michael Pittman Jr.
Oh, okay.
And so to see him at wide receiver 16, it just warms my heart. Because it's going to be an interesting season with Anthony Richardson more than likely being the quarterback for, at worst, a good portion of the season, depending on what they do at the beginning of the year. But this guy is an NFL wide receiver one with the way that he plays. Now, does it turn to fantasy production? There's a question mark about that because of the offense. But I love Michael Pittman Jr.
Yes and no. I think... I'm worried about the touchdowns this year. Again, I say worry. This is a guy I'm 13 spots higher on than consensus. But the only thing I'm really worried about is the touchdown production this year. Like, I think it might be like a 5-6 touchdowns. But I see no reason why he's not going to be the not only the target leader, but like a heavy, heavy target share. Like, touching 150 targets this year, and is a 1,000-plus yard receiver. And, you know, you might not have the weekly touchdown, so there might be a lot of weeks where he's finishing with, you know, 10, 11 points where you're like, you're happy, but he just didn't have that monster week. But boy, I mean, he's got a ton of potential. He's got touchdown upside. If things work with Anthony Richardson, I'm concerned because I'm not sure how many touchdowns Richardson's going to throw, but the skill set to score touchdowns is still there for Michael Pittman Jr., just in case Richardson is better than I think. I just, again, this is a volume thing. Like, on a per target basis, he wouldn't be this high, but I do think he can flirt with 140, 150 targets this year if he's healthy.
I have a hot take.
Sure.
So Michael Pittman Jr. only caught 4 touchdowns last year.
Yeah.
Is it outlandish to say that the Colts are going to get better quarterback play in 2023 than they did in 2022?
It's not outlandish.
That's
touchdowns. I feel there's no way if he's healthy, he's scoring that low again.
He scored 4 touchdowns last year. 4.
Yeah.
With the corpse of Matt Ryan throwing him the football.
It's true.
Anthony Richardson is an upgrade over that version of Matt Ryan.
Future Raiders great Matt Ryan.
Don't do this. Don't be starting this already. So that to me is the upside that you buy into.
Yeah.
Is I don't think it can get any worse than it was last year.
No.
Because
and I still think
even if Anthony Richardson's running around making mistakes, they're still going to throw it.
Yeah.
And they're still going to let Anthony learn.
Exactly.
So that to me is the thing to buy in on. I'd like to talk about our wide receiver 1, Amari Cooper, as wide receiver 11. I'd like to have a conversation.
Yeah.
So we can once again reinforce to everybody that Amari Cooper is a wide receiver 1 in the National Football League and is a wide receiver 1 in fantasy football. And you should be paying attention to Amari Cooper. Please and thank you.
Yeah,
Don't pay attention to Amari Cooper so I can have all the shares of him in my leagues.
Yeah, I'm surprised that his ADP isn't in the low-end wide receiver 1 territory.
You're higher than him at wide receiver 11 than everybody else.
Yeah, he's right now going off the board as wide receiver 18. I'm not sure what Amari Cooper has to do. All he's done is gone everywhere and produced. He produced with the Raiders, produced with the Cowboys, produced last year with Cleveland. The quarterback play isn't going to be worse.
My guy had 1,000 yards last year, 1,100 yards last year with Jacoby Brissett and Deshaun Watson playing as poorly as he did. What are we doing here?
I don't know what we're doing.
Let me just count real quick. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 1,000-yard seasons in his career. 6. His yards per reception last year, 14.9. Tied for the second highest mark in his career. He had 9 touchdowns last year with bad quarterback play. What are we doing, people? I don't get it. I do not understand why Amari Cooper, you know what it is? You know what it is? It's because Dallas was just so quick to just remove him from their team that everybody thinks, oh, he must not be good. He must stink. Guy's got 1,000-yard receiving seasons, and it's coming off a year in which he played in all 17 games, caught 78 passes on 130 targets, and got 1,100 receiving yards. Whoa.
Yep.
What's not to like? He's 29. What's not to like?
I agree. I have no idea. I'll keep having Amari Cooper in profit every year.
I just don't understand.
One other name I want to bring up, and this somebody's got to explain to me, is what more does Brandon Ayuk have to do to get some respect in fantasy circles?
He's not Deebo Samuel, and he plays
Why do we do this every year with him? I feel like I'm 15 spots higher on him every year.
So
ranking in ADP.
And here's why. I have his numbers in front of me here. You know what's really interesting to me?
What?
Career high in targets. He got the triple digit targets last year, 114, which is the highest in his career. He got 1,000 yards receiving, and he had 8 touchdowns. Like, he had the best year of his career statistically.
Yeah. And coming off of that, people are drafting him as the wide receiver 33.
Yeah, I don't know. Are you concerned about the quarterback play in San Francisco? I'm sorry. Did you see the quarterback play that he had last year and he put up those numbers? Yeah. It's not changed. It's the same quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand.
I'm with you. I feel fired up.
I was not anticipating being
fired up. I said you're very
fired up. But I'm angry now.
Yeah. This feels like deja vu. It's Groundhog Day. I feel like I have to do this for Brandon Ayuk argument every single year. And we're right back at it again. Another tremendous value.
we could, this could be our opportunity to say, as a true wide receiver, Brandon Ayuk greater than signed Deebo Samuel. This is our opportunity to once again.
He is. Yeah. Deebo Samuel's a better overall football player, and he's higher on this list. He comes in at wide receiver 10 for me, which again, I think a little bit of a post, I can't really call him a sleeper, but like post-type sleeper, where remember when everybody wanted to draft him as wide receiver 2 last year, now they're already, they don't want to draft him in the top 15 anymore. Like we're again, a little bit of, this is the Gabe Davis stuff a little bit, at least, but at least Deebo has actually proven himself. But a little bit overreaction. This is I got burned last year. I'm gonna push him down the board a little too much. Like, no, you shouldn't go as wide receiver 2. And by the way, we told you that last year.
But as a
lower end wide receiver 1, I absolutely want him on my roster.
We are in to the top 10, Jamie.
We are. And there's really 1 through 9 is the,
well, hold on.
In some order, I would like a victory. The top lap. 9 everywhere.
Hold on. I'm gonna take a victory lap here right out of the get-go.
Oh, for 9? Sure.
How do you and I not take a victory lap for this?
Well, I'm gonna give it to you more so than me, because you were quicker to come to this conclusion than I was.
Amon-Ra St. Brown is a top 10 fantasy wide receiver. He might be a top 15 wide receiver in all of football.
Yeah, I can't deny it anymore. All the dude does is get 12 targets a game and catch 90% of them or whatever.
Like, the man's insane. I'm going to pull up his statistics from last year just so we have them. He had 146 targets last year. He had 912 yards in his rookie season. And then came into 2022 and had 146 targets, caught 106 passes, only played in 16 games, by the way, missed a game, and had 1,100 receiving yards. So it doesn't matter who's around him in that room. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. Ben Johnson figures out ways to get him the football, and I expect a monster season from him. He's going to get a ton of targets every single game. You know that's going to be the case. This is a guy, he's going to get double-digit targets. He's going to have those games where he gets 8 or 9 catches and gets in the end zone, and they're just monster weeks. Let's see how many monster weeks that he had last year. He had, in half PPR formats, I want to see how many games, and I define monster weeks as like 20 or more fantasy points. He had 3 of them. He had 34.9 in week 2, he had 23.4 in week 12, and then 29.1 in week 13. And he was wide receiver 3, 3, and 2 those weeks. And every other week, he's got like double-digit points. He's just great. He's awesome. Should have him on Amon-Ra St. Brown on your fantasy team.
Yep.
Wide receiver 8, A.J. Brown, also good at football. Also very good. Wide receiver 7, Davante Adams. Wide receiver 6, CeeDee Lamb. Wide receiver 5, Stephon Diggs. Wide receiver 4, Cooper Kupp. Wide receiver 3, Tyreek Hill. And this, folks, hope you're sitting down for this one. Wide receiver 2, Justin Jefferson. Wide receiver 1, Ja'Marr Chase. Jamie, explain yourself. You have Ja'Marr Chase over Justin Jefferson. I think you're going to tell me that the projections bear that out as to why Ja'Marr Chase is ahead of Justin Jefferson, but I will cede my time to you. The floor is yours.
I think potential touchdown upside is really the difference between those two. And you talk about the elite tier, if those guys are the elite tier. In fantasy, in real life, we all know what it's going to be. I think Ja'Marr Chase's touchdown percentage, I mean, he scored 9 touchdowns last year, so it's not like he was terrible by any means, but he scored 9 touchdowns in 12 games. This is a guy that has a legitimate chance to not only lead the league in receiving touchdowns, but maybe to lead the league in receiving touchdowns by multiple touchdowns. And where Justin Jefferson is a guy that's going to probably get you 8, 9, or 10, I think Ja'Marr Chase could get you 13, 14, 15. And with all the other stats looking very similar, I think this is going to be a case where that's enough to give him a little bit of an edge right now. And in my projections, I have about a one fantasy point per game difference between the two, believe it or not. And about 16 fantasy points over the course of the season difference. And a large chunk of it is that difference in touchdown production. Like, he might have 5 or 6 touchdowns more than Justin Jefferson. And I think that might be the difference. Can't go wrong in either direction, obviously, at the top. But I feel more confident that we're going to get Ja'Marr Chase in the double-digit touchdowns than I am that we're going to get Justin Jefferson there. And that is the acknowledgement with him. That next group, Tyreek Hill and Cooper Kupp, I think if you want to consider all 4 of those guys into one tier at the top, that's fine with me. And you can kind of order them how you would like. All elite options. I am fully buying back in on Cooper Kupp if he's healthy, having a monster season. I projected him for 15 games this year to kind of split the difference a bit. But I think if he's back, he's a very decent chance to lead an average fantasy points per game, because he's going to get a ton of volume. And as we talked about with some of the other guys earlier, where else is Matthew Stafford throwing the ball to? It's going to be to Cooper Kupp early, often, and always. Yeah, but Puka Nacua is fine. He's not taking a target share away from Cooper Kupp.
Jamie, I think the takeaway that I have here is inside your top nine, you are plus or minus one spot in ADP with all these guys. It's a very, very well-defined consensus of who the top nine, maybe 10 names are in fantasy for the wide receiver position this year. And give or take one spot, you've got the same nine names as everybody else in both the ECR and the ADP. That's it, folks. 105 names read and discussed in some capacity here on this show. One more show for Wide Receivers Week this week here. Tomorrow, we've got the Sleepers edition of the show. Some of the names we've already talked about as sleepers, some of the names that we have stashed away and didn't discuss as sleepers. So another deep dive into fantasy football wide receivers tomorrow, as we will get into the sleepers conversation then. We would appreciate it if you rate, review, subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast. Do us a favor, share the show as well. Helps us out a ton, helps us continue to grow, and we want to kick off football season and betting season and fantasy season here in just a few short weeks in style, and so you can help us out by sharing the show. You can catch the show in your podcast feed. You can catch the show on YouTube Music, where you can see the video version of the show as well. Speaking of the video version, you can also catch that over on our YouTube channel as well, the Draft Network on YouTube, where you can see the video version of the show as well. And while you're over there, thumbs up, leave a comment, subscribe to the YouTube channel, turn on the notification bell so you know when we go live with shows, when we premiere different videos on there. A lot of great content coming to you throughout the rest of the summer over there as well. We appreciate everybody making this show a part of their day. Hope everybody has a great rest of their day. We've got one more day of Wide Receiver Week, the Sleepers, tomorrow. Until then, we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.